Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Seven Lakes Podcast. We're here at the end of the school year, and we have two faculty members that are retiring, and we thought we'd get them on the podcast and hear about their educational career and what's next and a few other things. We're here with Dave Flora and Daryl Metcalf. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Great.
All right. So why don't you guys start off and tell us what you've been teaching and how many years that you've been in education?
This is my 42nd year and final. I've taught everything in social studies except world geography. Started out in world history, went to American history for a few years, then did some government eco, and since I've been here, I've just taught economics.
Okay, Dave, so what other schools have you taught at?
I started my career in a little 1A farming community, cotton farming community out in West Texas called Lorenzo. I was there for a year, came to Stratford, my alma mater, taught there for 18 years, then left and went to Westside High School, opened Westside High School. We were there for 2 years, then went to Katie Taylor for five, then to Ailey Felsick for two, and been here for 14.
Okay. And you also have been a coach as well.
Yes. The entire time I've coached football, and I was the head soccer coach at Stratford for 15 years, coached it 1 year here, coached basketball for 1 year, two different times.
All right. Coach Metcalf, what have you coached and taught?
So this is year number 41 for me, so one less than Dave. I've taught AP World History, KAP World History on level, mainly all world history. I've also done some AP European History, and I was a social studies department chair for about 8 years. Coach Flora and I have actually coached with each other and against each other when he was at Stratford and I was at Taylor. I started out at Westfield High School right out of college, 1982, and was there for 8 years. Then I came to Katie Taylor in 1990. I was there for 15 years, head soccer coach all that time. And then when Seven Lakes opened, I moved over here and started the soccer program here. So I've been Seven Lakes faculty since day one. Got out of coaching in 2010 to concentrate more on academic stuff, and then in 2018, I got back into coaching as an assistant coach here at Seven Lakes.
All right. So we've got some topics kind of lined up. First topic is, how do you think education has changed? The school systems, education in general, public education, has it changed much throughout your career, or is it about the same? What are your thoughts on that?
To me, the biggest change is the involvement of the state. You know, the state testing. When I first got in, there was no such thing as a TEAMS test, tax test, star test. They've been through every letter combination that there is. That's the biggest thing. The curriculum being kind of pushed more by the state than it is by the local school districts. Disciplines obviously changed quite a bit. They've removed corporal punishment, which made a pretty big impact on a lot of kids. The Board of Education, as it were. But, you know, as far as teaching in the classroom, I don't see a big difference in the addition of technology.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. For me, I don't think the students have changed that much. I think a teenager is still a teenager, really, all these years later. But the technology has changed a lot. I can remember when I first started teaching, we still had the film projectors that people would bring in, literally a film projector. We're going to watch a movie today.
And film strips.
Yeah, and film strips.
Boop.
Yeah. And that was high tech back then. And I can remember my first year when I was grading, I had the green notebook, grade book, and I would literally get out a calculator and figure out the averages because we didn't have computers. It was crazy. And all the information is right there at their fingertips now. I mean, being a history teacher, my students think I know every little thing about history, and they'll ask questions like, well, how old was Henry VIII when he married his third wife? I'm like, I don't know that. And now they just get out their phone and look it up.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Sure. It's right there at your fingertips. Yeah. So the technology is definitely a big change, but also just things that, you know, over this many years, things change. I remember my first year teaching, well, not my first year, my first few years, we had a smoker's lounge and a non-smoker's lounge for the teachers. So I knew if I needed to talk to a teacher that was a smoker, I had to go into the smoking lounge, and I'd take a big, deep breath before I went in there because it reeked of smoke. And not only that, we had a smoking area for students.
Wow.
Yeah. They brought a notarized note from their parent. They could smoke on campus. So can you imagine that?
No.
It's crazy, huh?
Teachers at Stratford used to go up on the third floor, and there was a janitor's closet. And the janitor's closet opened out onto the roof of the gym.
Wow.
And that's where the smokers would go and smoke. If you walked into that room, reeked of smoke. And they only ever smoked on the roof, but it was horrible. When I first started teaching, boys were wearing wigs. If your hair was too long in Spring Branch, it came down past your collar, they'd put it up in a wig. And I mean, those guys, they wore some of the goofiest, tackiest looking wigs. And it was never the same color as their hair. And there would be strands of their hair sticking out. So a blonde-headed kid, you know, a tow-headed blonde, would wear a black wig. And he'd have those little strands of blonde hair coming out, or vice versa.
Is it because their hair was too long for the dress code?
Yeah.
It was out of dress code?
Yeah.
That's crazy, because I can remember my wife, you know, she was an assistant principal at Taylor, and she kept, you know, some razors and shaving cream in her office. And if a kid had facial hair, he'd have to go in there and shave.
Yeah.
Now, no one really cares anymore.
When they started letting kids have facial hair, you know, I went to the principal at the time. I said, you know, that's really a terrible idea. He said, no, it's the greatest idea in the world for a principal, because it's one less thing you have to mess with.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but now you're walking down the hall. At the time, we weren't making kids wear their IDs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said, you got guys walking down the hall in a full beard. You're going to have to ask everybody that walking in the hall, hey, are you supposed to be here? He said, oh, yeah, I never thought of that.
So, Coach Flohr, would you agree with Coach Metcalf that kids essentially haven't changed that much?
I think kids are kids. The thing that has changed in my mind is the number of things that there are to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's their phones or their iPods or ear pads, what do you call them?
Yeah.
There's just so many other things for them to be distracted from.
Yeah.
And that's getting their attention is the biggest change. And parents.
Yeah.
Parents have changed.
Parents have
changed a lot.
You know, when cell phones first started getting used a lot, the original policy was no cell phones. You could not have if you had your cell phone out in school, it would get confiscated, and your parents had to come and pick it up, and you had to pay a $25 fine.
Yeah.
And now, can you imagine doing that today? Parents would flip out. You know, what? I can't get a hold of my kid? But, that's definitely – the cell phone thing has definitely changed a lot.
Well, and now the number of teachers that use them,
in the classroom all
the time,
effectively, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know you guys probably have a funny story, probably a lot of funny stories you could share with us. Could each of you pick something humorous that has happened in your teaching career that you can share with us here on the podcast?
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
All right. So this was years ago, but I had a good friend that taught right across the hall from me. He was also a coach. And we had a student. I had him third period, and my friend had him fourth period. So this kid, his name was Raymond. We both had a really good relationship with him. Funny kid, joked around with him. We liked him. But I had him in history third period, and then he had study hall next period across the hall. But he would finish his work and fall asleep every day. He was a smart kid, but, man, that kid could sleep. So we had a test, and I knew he was going to finish in 20 minutes like he always does and go right to sleep. So I told my friend across the hall, I'm going to let Raymond sleep today, and I'm not going to let him out. I'm not going to tell him when the bell rings, and then I'm going to see if he notices. So sure enough, he takes a test, he finishes, he falls asleep, he's fast asleep. And so as the bell rings, I tell the class to get up quietly, not to bother him. We all walk out, he's sound asleep. I'm standing at the door as my next class comes in, and I'm telling them, you know, sit down, be quiet. I'm going to pass out the test. Don't wake him up. So they were all in on it. They came in, they started their tests, and he's still sleeping. And period goes away. He's starting to stir and wake up a little bit. And the class is, everybody's looking at him, you know. And finally he kind of wakes up, and the class just all breaks out laughing. And he's looking around. He's confused. He didn't know. He doesn't know what's going on. I was just like, hey, Raymond, it's fourth period now. You're across the hall or whatever. And he just kind of mumbles and walks over there. So we thought it was funny. So after class was over, of course, I walked up across the hall. And I said, hey, what'd Raymond say? And he was standing in his door. And he said, he was upset. He said he was crying. He said he asked to go talk to his assistant principal. And I was like, what? I said, you're kidding me. All of a sudden, I'm starting to get nervous. And then turns out Raymond was standing behind the door. And they pulled the joke back on me.
Coach Floor, what do you have?
Mine's an in-service story. We were in the cafeteria at Stratford, and one of the coaches got up and walked out. And from the cafeteria, you could see him walking all the way down to the field house. And, you know, he turned around and gave us some friendly hand gestures. And so the principal asked, well, you know, anybody have anything good happen to him over the summer? This was the first day back in service. And I stood up and I said, he's not going to tell anybody, but Jay went to Vegas and won $35,000. Wow. And everybody starts hooping and hollering, you know. And so when Jay came back in, he opens the doors and everybody starts applauding, just going absolutely crazy. And he's waving to everybody, you know, oh, yeah, hi, everybody. So he sits down next to one of the guys that was coaching with us that had coached me. Mm-hmm. And then we coached together. He sat next to him, and he's, you know, real nonchalant, and he goes, what just happened? And he said, Flora kind of threw you under the bus. So he looks down at me, and he, you know, gave me the friendly hand gesture. And he could have stood up right then and said, you know, Flora's full of crap. I didn't go to Vegas. I didn't win any money. But he didn't. He let it ride.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went and told him, I said, you know, it's on you now. I said, I did it. I'm a clown. And I said, so now if you're going to carry this story, I need to know what, you know, how'd you win the money? You know, what game did you play? Whatever. So he told me, well, we go up into the social studies workroom, and we've got a guy on our staff whose wife works for the IRS. And as soon as we get in the social studies workroom, old Rob turns to Jay and he goes, well, Jay, how much of that money did the IRS take? starts waffling. But he never told anybody that he didn't win it. And people were, you know, oh, dinner's on Jay, lunch is on Jay today for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you say the in-service, that reminds me, one year, I'm not sure if you were here, Dave, you might have been. It was early in the year and we had an in-service and they had a drawing for something. So you had to fill out your name on a piece of paper for the drawing. They were giving away a bunch of prizes. And Terry Kangas was the softball coach at the time. So all the coaches, we were all sitting together. We all put Terry Kangas's name. And so they drew out Terry Kangas. Hey, he won whatever. And then a couple of draws later, Terry Kangas. He kept winning.
Yeah, it's important to make things fun, right?
Yeah.
Well, guys, so what's next for y'all after 40-plus years of teaching? You're both in good health. And what do you have next on your agenda?
I'm retiring from public school, and I've accepted a job at a private school, St. John the 23rd, on 99, where I will be the head football coach.
Oh, great.
Something that I've prepared for 42 years. I'm excited to try my hand at it.
Great. Awesome. Coach Metcalf, what do you have lined up?
Oh, my answer that I've been telling most people is as little as my wife will let me get away with. But, walking the dogs, taking care of the house, and I don't know, I may try and get into some broadcasting with Texan Live, doing the high school soccer broadcast or something like that, but I'm sure I'll find stuff to keep me busy. I definitely want to travel some as well.
All right, so to close up, what parting advice do you have for people who are just now entering the teaching career?
I would say, enjoy the ride. I have had a blast for 42 years. There's a lot of mumbo jumbo and a lot of, you know, you ask the big change. The change really isn't in the kids in the school. It's in, you know, what the district is constantly changing and, you know, your procedures and everything else. And people have been asking me for 8 years since I became eligible to retire. You know, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? I said, well, when I get tired of it, when it's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look, I've got two big handprints printed on my back. You know, they give me one big solid push and I'm gone. But everybody thinks, oh, yeah. I mean, I know people who will tell you how many years, how many months, how many days till they're eligible to retire.
Yeah.
My eligibility came and went.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even consider. And then people, you know, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? Well, I'm going to retire as soon as I can. And to me, it was a really hard decision.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm leaving one job and going to another, mm-hmm. in the same business.
Yeah.
I just enjoy spending time with the kids. I think the class that I teach now is terribly, terribly important. I teach economics, and it's about what's going on out there in the world, and we talk about how they can make more money out of the money they've already earned. And I think the class that I teach is really, really relevant. And it has not been an easy decision. Every time I would walk into Ms. Fennison's office, you know, Jan would say, Coach Flores here to see you. And she would say, does he have a piece of paper in his hands? If he has a piece of paper in his hands, I don't want to see him. And, you know, she just asked me not to leave her in the lurch, you know, no, mm-hmm. don't wait till the last minute. And I kind of did, because this job came open so late. But, you know, retiring is not an easy thing. It's not an easy decision for me to make, because I really enjoy the relationships with the kids in football. I enjoy football. I enjoy the, you know, the strategy there, but the interaction with the kids in the classroom—it's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I've had so much fun in this profession. I've met a lot of great people. I never woke up in the morning and thought, "Man, I have to go to work today."
Yeah,
I enjoy what I do, coaching and teaching. I would tell young teachers to first of all, you're important. This job is important. Public education is important, no matter what some politicians may say.
Yep.
And what we do is a very noble, you're not going to make a lot of money, but it's a very important thing that you're doing. I would tell them to lean on some more experienced teachers, especially in the beginning, because it can be a little overwhelming when you first start, but hang in there and know that you're appreciated.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I'd like to formally thank you for being on the podcast, but more importantly, thank you for your service to the kids over the years. It's been a great thing.
Thanks for being here. Okay.